Hey, what's up? This is Joey Allen from Warrant, and you are on the road to rock. Turn it up.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Welcome to November. Welcome to On the Road to Rock. This is Clint Switzer. It's great to be back with you. As you've noticed, the podcast has become a little more, well, what would Spinal Tap say, selective? Our audience has become more selective. As Spinal Tap would say, no, the podcast has become a little more selective. Usually, we love to roll out interviews once a week. When it gets into the fall and kind of into the winter months and there's less touring, less things going on, we kind of scale it back and kind of just, we want to do the best interviews we can. And sometimes that winds up being every other week or every 3 weeks sometimes. So as we head off here into the final couple months here of 2021, just wanted to make that program note that On the Road to Rock, we appreciate you guys so much for listening to all of our interviews. The last one we did with John Waite, the feedback on that was tremendous. This week, another huge interview. It's going to be Phil Lewis, the frontman for LA Guns, and he does not pull any punches. The band is about to release their new album, Checkered Past. This is the third studio album since Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis sort of had their reformation, as we'll call it, as Phil will call it during the interview, LA Guns Mach 2, because obviously Phil and Tracy, the driving force behind LA Guns, of course, Steve Riley, the band's former drummer, has his own version of LA Guns. And he's going to take a few shots at that band during this interview. And he's very excited about this Checkered Past album. You know, it's noticeably more bluesy. And I think you'll notice that when you hear it. And it comes out November 12th via Frontiers Records. We're so pleased to be able to talk to Phil. It's been a few years. And again, as with any interview we do, we put it up on our YouTube channel, which is Starcade Media. Just search Starcade Media On the Road to Rock with Phil Lewis, and that is available. So if you subscribe to us on YouTube at Starcade Media, you're going to get these interviews often before the podcast comes up. So you're going to get that content and in video form. So that's something extra special for our YouTube channel, our YouTube subscribers. But here on this podcast, which you can get on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, we always appreciate you. And thank you so much for being a part of this show for, gosh, it's been over 8 years now that we've been doing this. Back to the Music Mania days, guys. It's been not even a year yet that we kind of rebranded On the Road to Rock, and our major media company that's sort of ahead of us is Starcade Media. That's where you can go. On the Road to roadtorockpodcast.com is the website. It's going to take you to Starcade Media, but that is sort of the mirror site. We thank you so much for being a part of this. We hope you're having a tremendous fall season. Hope you had a great Halloween. Thanksgiving's coming up. Christmas is coming up. This is the time of year that it seems like time starts flying when you get into these months. Now, January, February, early March, can kind of drag a little bit. That's sort of like the seasonal depression months, I say. But for now, the holidays, it all is kind of a blur. So we're hoping to get some more tremendous interviews, working for those as we speak. And they're going to be coming kind of when we are able to do it, when it works out for the artists, and when artists have something to promote. So not a lot of tours going on right now. And so we kind of get what we get at this point. And that's okay. Coming up, the interview with LA Guns frontman Phil Lewis.
Now, see, there's the infamous library background. I'm just so happy to be a part of it. I saw you posted that the other day. That's the best background I've ever seen, man.
What are you talking about? These are vintage books going back to the 15th century.
I know. There's some class. The Oxford Book of English Verse is back there somewhere, I think I see.
That's right.
It's great to have you, man. I know this has been a busy time. You've been doing tons of interviews. I know that because every time I turn around, there's a new blabbermouth headline for you. So, hey, I mean, you're getting out there, man. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, you know, so this is the beginning of the third week. I've been doing four a day now. This is the beginning, as I said, beginning of third week. So that's a lot of interviews. And, you know, I'm fine with it. Bring them on, because we're just talking about my favorite subject. This record and just getting back in the saddle and getting back to work, getting back to business. And it's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it is. And Checkered Past, is the album. It comes out November 12th here, just in a couple weeks. So a lot of excitement there. This album, Phil, it just seems to be kind of moving in a different direction musically. I mean, I'm so impressed. It seems to be a little bit more bluesy, a little dirtier than some of the albums that you've done in the past. You think back to, The Missing Piece, The Devil Made Me Do It. This one seems to be a bit of a departure. Was there kind of a conscious effort to kind of make this one a little different, a little more kind of almost classic rock sounding, a little more introspective, if you will?
Well, the first one, The Missing Piece, the music had been floating around for years before the reunion. So it kind of had its own vibe. Whereas this one is basically, we wrote it in about 3 weeks. It took Tracy about 3 weeks to come up with the song structures. Once we realized what we needed 11 songs, approximately 60 minutes worth of material, and just have fun with it. And that's exactly what we did. And a little different from the traditional way of doing things, whereas usually you're a bunch of guys who get together, say, okay, we're going to make a record. So you all get together in a room and you huddle, and it's a crucible, and all the, everyone's got ideas, everyone's contributing, it's changing, the song's changing dramatically as it develops. And then that glorious moment when the song's complete and like, yeah, that's it. And then you'll play it 100 times just because you want to play it 100 times because you love your new song. Mm-hmm. And because you want to get ready for the studio so that when that red light goes on, you'll be like, yeah, I'm ready. I could do this in my sleep. I can do it on my head. And it's nothing like that. It was completely different. This was all ass backwards. It was, everything was done. By the time it got to me, the music was all done. The arrangements, everything was all solid. And it's not exactly rocket science. As far as songwriting goes, Tracy knows what I like. I like a two-bar intro. I like a verse, maybe two verses and a chorus, a second verse, a chorus, maybe a bridge. So it's all very mathematical. It's 4 and 8, 2 sets of 8s and another 4, and then maybe 2 or even 4 bars for a bridge, like a middle section, and then either back to another verse or back to a chorus. So that's the template. So there was no need for us to go, oh, I need one more phrase, one more bar so I can put this line. No, it was all structured. It was great. So very different from, like, these songs. I've never sung them live.
Right.
Not one. That's not true. We did a live stream about a year ago, just after the time we'd written and recorded Let You Down. And we were so happy with the way it turned out, in the way that we did it, which I'll get to. It was really remarkable. So that's the only song of this album that I've sung live.
Yeah.
Normally it's completely different. I would have sung every one of these songs 100 times before I even got in the studio. This was an album that was recorded remotely. Tracy did his guitar parts. He came up with the ideas in Denmark. I'm doing vocals over here in Vegas. drums and bass are being put together in LA. Johnny Martin's playing bass. Then we had an issue with our drummer.
Yes.
Our touring drummer, Scott Coogan, didn't have recording facilities. So he couldn't get involved in the loop, what was going on. And it was incredibly frustrating because he should have played on it. And if it had been a traditional record, he would have. But he didn't, because he didn't have what we needed equipment-wise. So Adam Hamilton did. And Adam was already on board producing and compiling these tracks, these big files, that big high-definition files that we're sending around the world. So he put the drums down and put the drums down last. When I got the songs, they were just drum machines. And it was so good, you know, during the course of working on my vocals. One day hearing the drum machine and the next day it's got real drums in it. It's like difference. It's just the shading is the difference in that. It's just incredible. So, yeah, a bit of an ass-backwards record. Now, I did my vocals, as I said, remotely. I did them alone. I did them here in my house. I did them. I built a vocal booth under my stairs, a coat closet, you know, very Harry Potter under there. And just using a basic Dell laptop, an entry-level Focusrite Scarlett interface. No big deal. A decent, okay, Mike, like a Chinese knockoff kind of a mic. And it sounds fucking great. So anyone, you know, like, that's kind of like a bit of information I'm putting out for home recording people that do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need. I had no compressor or no 1950s warm tube amps or in fact, I didn't, when I record the vocals, I don't even have any effect. I have no reverb, no delay, nothing. It's dry as a bone. And that's the way I like it. So that if I have a good take and it's a good waveform, a good strong signal, then we put the effects on after.
And it
sounds good. I mean, I think in many ways, the production on it is every bit, maybe even better. Certainly, I think it might be better than The Missing Piece.
Yeah.
Sonically. That's just me personally. But this is, as you said, it's a very varied album. It's a way more bluesy than the last two.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about the last albums, what we're really talking about is L.A. Guns 2.0. If you started talking about the third album go, you'd be talking about Vicious Circle. And no, this is the new, improved Mark II 2.0 LA Gun that started the reunion 5 years ago. And for all intents and purposes, it's the new band with two guys from an original band that was put together in the 80s. But it sounds so completely different. So, you know, when I say, on the, a couple of albums ago, it means like, you know, post reunion, as opposed to, last century. It was last century, you know, and now, no matter how you try and shine that, I don't want to be remembered for last century's music. We don't. We've got more to offer than that. And if it wasn't fun and if it wasn't generating the kind of enthusiasm that it obviously it is, because I've been nonstop talking about it now for a few weeks, then we wouldn't bother. But we do, because it's great and people dig it. And we're just so excited. We were doing great before the pandemic hit. The Devil You Know came out and done its rounds. We'd done the States with it. We were about to take it over to Europe. We were just about to do a celebration of the 30th year of Cocked and Loaded. We were going to do a whole tour of just playing that record.
Mm.
And all our plans, they got thwarted. They got absolutely pissed on from a great height, as did everyone. We've been in this holding pattern for 2 years now, and making the very best use of it, making the best use of our time. I think I would have gone crazy if it wasn't for this record. Just to sit at home and not know what the fuck's going on, especially, you know, the ugly part of the lockdown, you know, when there were people lining up outside supermarkets in March.
Mm.
It started to have a kind of a science fiction vibe to it. And I was just like, wow, this this is definitely nothing I'd ever seen in my lifetime, or yours, I'm sure.
No.
A little bit scary. So it was nice to have a bit of music to immerse myself in.
Yeah, and we're all excited about this release, November 12th, again, through Frontiers Records. You talked about the live aspect, and a lot of bands have kind of thrown their hat in the ring as far as touring goes, starting last spring. You guys kind of waited. Was it just kind of a deal where you wanted to wait to sort of tour behind the album, or were there any thoughts about getting your feet wet again this summer? What was the thought process behind kind of waiting to get back on the road?
Well, we made a pact. We said that we weren't going to do any shows until the record dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if, even if the pandemic had gone, if we would have changed that. It just seemed part of our plan. We've been doing things for the last 5 years. We've been doing things very methodically. You know, in the old days, it would just throw the shit against the wall and see what sticks. We've been a lot more strategic in our planning and in our direction and what we want to do and how we want to do it. So it was a very conscious decision not to do any shows until the record drops. And I'm glad we didn't, because honestly, I think it's great that guys are back in the saddle and they're working and they're playing music and they're making people happy and they gig, but this thing's not over.
Right. You're right.
It's not over. I just read today, like, another band's going home mid-tour because Bon Jovi for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
Money's gone into this Bon Jovi tour. You know, with the logistics of it and employing people and bands and roadies and crews and travel agents, everything all fucked up. It's all for nothing. All completely nothing. And same thing with Kiss. Paul's right hand man, the guy that he's had for almost over 20 years.
Yes.
The guy, he's dead. He's not sick. He's dead. He's not fucking coming back. And it's perfect, Gene. For what? A bit more money. You got more money than you could possibly ever spend in your fucking grandchild's life. So I just do not get why people are pushing their luck. Because, you know, it's one thing if you get it, if John Bon Jovi got it, fair enough. And he's like, okay, well, it was my stupid fault. I did something I shouldn't have done. But what if he got someone else? Like if it was like his hairdresser or something. And she got sick and she died. I don't want that responsibility. We don't want that. Tracy and I, we do not want that. You know, we're not like, well, yeah, we are worried for ourselves because I certainly no spring chicken. But, you know, we got our shot. So you could, even though, you know, Jimon Jovi had his shots. Everyone, you know, you can do, nobody would dream of going on tour without getting vaccinated. Well, I hope not anyway. And you're still fucked. So, no hurry at all to get back and until things are right, until it's right. And you know, the shows that we're going to be doing when this record comes out are just local shows in the LA Vegas area. And then we got the Whiskey on New Year's Eve, and that's traditional. You know, we've been doing that now for six times. And that's a nice way to ease back into it. We've got the Monsters of Rock cruise in February. And then there's talk. And the dates are being booked. And it looks pretty solid that we'll be doing a tour with Tom Kiefer. So it'll be Tom Kiefer, LA Guns, and Fast the Pussycat. I think it's a great package. So that's the summer plan. But who knows? Who knows? This thing is not over.
Sure.
Until it is, nobody can really make any solid plans.
Yeah, you're right. And I think Ace Frehley and Alice Cooper just completed a tour where they did such stringent protocols that nobody tested positive for the entire month or two that they were out. And that was kind of an anomaly because we've seen, like you said, so many cancel. Kiss just canceled their Vegas residency. it's just part of it. But so maybe you guys doing the right thing here and pushing back, and hopefully it can go off without a hitch. And you're right. LA Guns at the Whiskey on New Year's is a tradition unlike any other. I think I saw you guys with Faster Pussycat 6 years ago. This is right before you were formed with Tracy. That was like right at the end of the other era, if you will. But for you, Phil, I mean, you and Tracy, there's a magic that exists there. It's undeniable. Are you happy? I mean, this is the third studio album that you guys have done. You have had a live album come out this year as well. The production that you guys have been able to do is really to be admired in this day and age. I think Frontiers Music, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they've got to be a big part in this because they do such a great job of showcasing artists, you know, like yourselves. Are you happy with this level of production? Maybe, you know, three albums in 5 years, that's unbelievable in this day and age, man. That's really an accomplishment.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, you know, me and Tracy, we're like children of the 70s. You know, we grew up listening to, you know, all these records, these bands, these classic bands, Zeppelin, Sabbath, Purple. And it was perfectly normal for them to put an album out every year or two. That's just the way things are done in the world. You put out an hour's worth of music every 18 months. Thin Lizzy did it. You know, it was all part of, you know, once you got signed to a label, it would be required that you would have to give them something on a regular basis. And now, you know, since the demise of the labels, or the labels as we know it, that flew out the window. It says people, mm-hmm. you know, bands dealing with sort of indie labels or putting it out themselves. So that there isn't that kind of pressure that there was in, you know, in when it was one big sausage factory. But you know, that is the way, that's our work ethic. And you know, whether it's released or not, to be honest, we're still going to be writing songs, which it's just what we do. I mean, it's good that, you know, we can write to spec, you know, and we have an album to be delivered. And Trace is expert at that. You know, that never phases him. If they told him we've got to do it in a month, he would, and not fret about it. You know, we're confident about our ability. So, and you know, it is a little bit of a fuck you to the other bands. I've got to be honest. It's to be honest, you know, because we're doing it because we can, and you know, I'm not trying to burn anyone else, but no one can touch us. No one can, you know, like putting anything out that frequently and that consistently good. So yeah, a little bit of a pat on the back for myself there, and that's not slagging off. I think it might be encouraging, because I know it's hard for bands from the last century to pull their shit into this century and give something new, something that is the style, but make it a bit contemporary, which I think we do without, you know, getting stupid and putting drum loops and techno bullshit and any of that, but just sort of, you know, make it sound young. I think it sounds like a young band, or it doesn't sound like an old seasoned band of musos.
For me. No.
It's got that enthusiasm, and yeah, as long as we got that and good songs, of course, and because the songs are so good, I'm so enthusiastic I'd like to be a bit of an example.
I believe that's absolutely the case. The album is tremendous. It's called Checkered Past. It comes out November 12th. You can go to LAGunsMusic.com right now and pre-order it. I would employ anyone to do it. Phil, it's always such a pleasure catching up, man. It's been a couple years since I've seen you. You guys were in Kansas City a couple years ago. Hopefully we can get some more dates and get this Kiefer tour rolling, and we'll see you coming up.
Right. You see us last. Was it at the Iridium?
It was at the Aftershocks in Shawnee, Kansas over here. That would have been in like December of 2018.
And oh, wow. That's You've got some catching up to do.
I got some catching up to do. And I saw you with Butterside in Tampa at the Brass Mug a few months before that. So that's I had a couple thing. And I love that's that venue good. And I love Butterside. They're with you guys again on this these shows. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dirty little venue and we've played a lot of times and it's got the vibe, doesn't it?
It sure does. So I'm doing LA Gun Show. Hopefully that happens coming up, Phil. It's always such a pleasure. I know you got some more interviews to do. I know you got some reading to do based on some of the material you got behind you. So catch up on that. It's always a pleasure, man. We will see you soon. And best of luck with the new album because it really is tremendous.
Thanks, Clint. Appreciate the support. Talk to you soon.
Always, bye-bye. Sir. Thank you.
Huge thanks to Phil. First time ever doing it via Zoom. So if you want to check out that video again, the YouTube channel is Starcade Media. So excited for this album, Checkered Past. I think that this is just a natural progression. Whereas you remember The Missing Piece, that was the first album, 2017. The Devil Made Me Do It was the follow-up to that. And I think they were kind of sister albums. They really flowed kind of well together and the music was very similar. Now you go to The Checkered Past. I think more of the 70s influence comes out in this. I think Phil kind of touched on that during the interview, that you really hear a lot of the 70s kind of classic influence that you know, Phil had, you know, whether it be bands like Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin. I think you hear more classic rock and more bluesy guitar, more introspective lyrics. I think it's there for LA Guns. They've done a tremendous album. They've had to do it with Tracy Guns living half the year in Denmark with a pandemic going on. And, I give them a lot of credit for kind of playing the wait-and-see game when it comes to touring. So glad to see them back out here in the month of November and hopefully on in the 2022. So you heard Phil tease it. You heard the teaser right there. Looking for a tour with LA Guns, Tom Kiefer coming up. That's going to be tremendous. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of On the Road to Rock. It just blows me away that it's been, 8 years that this has been going on in this incarnation. It's surreal, and I love doing it, and I love doing these interviews. That's what this show is all about. You know, I'm not someone that likes to get on here and blab on about my favorite guitarist, my 10 favorite albums. It's about the stories, it's about these musicians, and On the Road to Rock is sort of it's an experience. Going down the road with these musicians, hearing the stories from the road, going on the road to shows and doing interviews live, that's just kind of all-encompassing. So thank you so much for being a part of On the Road to Rock. We will be back with more bigger, better, badder interviews coming up here at the end of 2021.